Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship as we continue our study of the book of Revelation. We are in Revelation chapter 9 and we'll cover verses 4 through 12. And this study is titled, The Fifth Trumpet, The First Woe. Revelation chapter 9, beginning in verse 4.
Understand that? The fifth trumpet is the first woe. There are three woes. And when I say woe, it is like, whoa. It's not, you know, like you're riding a horse and whoa. No, it's not like stopping anything. You're saying, whoa. And it's a gut, kind of a gut feeling deep down inside. You'll see why. So Revelation 9 is the fifth trumpet, the first woe, and then we'll see the sixth trumpet following right after. And we're going to start, I want to go ahead and start in verse 1. It says, And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, the last message, last study, we talked about the bottomless pit. If you didn't see that, you got to see that. But we're not going to rehash all that. So you have this star that falls from heaven, and to him, the star, we explained all this in the previous study, him is the star. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he's on the earth. And so we talked about last week that the bottomless pit, according to Scripture, is down there somewhere, under your feet. And this is what it looked like from the International Space Station. They caught this. This is what a falling star looked like. So that's what this falling star, and you know, we call it falling star. The Bible calls them stars. It language matches. People say the Bible's not scientific. Well, the Bible is scientific, but science has redefined a lot of terms since 1611. And even the modern versions still use a lot of that because to communicate the truth, you got to use those terms. It's like they say the four corners of the earth. The Bible teaches that the world's flat because it says four corners. That's what people say. Well, the Marines advertise that they fight all four corners of the earth. And you'll hear that phrase used all the time. And look on a compass or a map, you see what? Four corners. North, south, east, west. So don't get tripped up by anybody who says the Bible's not scientific. It uses language to communicate, but it's not unscientific. And that's what the amazing view of, from the International Space Station. One of these days, there's something like that going to happen. And it's not going to be a chunk of space junk. It's going to be an angel. And that's what it's going to look like. Now, verse 2 says he opened the bottomless pit. Now, think of that. He was given a key to this bottomless pit. And there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, this is a good animated idea of what that might look like. You have this horrible creature. I don't know about the bat wings, but you got this horrible creature, and he's opened up. Now, what I don't like about this is it just looks like a tear in the earth. I really think there's a vault. I believe it when it says there's a key. I think it's he goes down and he opens this thing up, and out come smoke and locusts. And it says in verse 3, And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. That's an interesting reference there. This is something that our minds, we can't even imagine. It's kind of a zoom in close up. That you see these locust creatures. We're going to see in a minute. They have these stinger things, and the face is a man, and it's just something that's
terrible.
Well, like I've said before, when you watch a horror flick, a lot of times what you're watching is something that came out of the mind of somebody who'd sat through Sunday school and sat through church services. You'd be amazed how many Shirley MacLaines there are in Hollywood who were raised in Baptist churches. Oprah Winfrey, raised in a Baptist church. George Lucas, raised in an old-fashioned Methodist church. And they're apostate. They leave that and they go into the Eastern religions. Like Lucas went into Buddhism and Oprah's into her Eckhart Tolle Eastern stuff. And Shirley's into the New Age. But they never can get rid of the images. And so when they create, like Lucas did, Star Wars, he comes up with a lot of his stuff from his memories of Scripture, mixed with his reading of comic books and all that sort of thing. Now read verse 4 with me. "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." Now, obviously, minus the wings, the angel there is kind of like putting a seal on their forehead, kind of imagery there. This isn't the church. Now, there's a growing number of people who claim to be Bible believers trying to put the church in this tribulation period. Over and over and over, you can see it's not the church. We don't have a seal in our foreheads. We are already sealed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see the difference? This is going to happen to these people in the tribulation period. The church, you're already sealed. We're not going to get a second seal or another seal in the tribulation period. We are sealed. Ephesians 1:13 says this. Read it with me. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Your seal isn't up here. Your seal is the actual indwelling Holy Spirit. And you're not going to then go into the tribulation and receive a seal on your forehead. So that's just another little tiny piece to the puzzle showing that the church isn't in this tribulation period. You're going to be very thankful if you will grasp that truth as you read this and you continue to study these chapters of the tribulation. You're going to be very thankful for having settled the fact that the church isn't there. And this is just a taste of it. Read verses 5 and 6. Read it with me. "And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them." That's amazing. Try to imagine that. You can't die. It's so bad in the tribulation period, you want to die. But you can't. For 5 months, while these scorpion locust creatures are tormenting men on the earth. Anyone who does not have that tribulation saint seal in their forehead is going to be tormented. Whoop, skip there. And I don't want you to miss that. They're seeking death. They want death. Now you think about that. These are people who have the mark of the beast. These are people who have rejected Jesus Christ. They're seeking death. The moment they die, they go to hell. And yet that's what they're seeking. That shows you the desperation. Because you and I know that these people know where they're going when they die. They're not ignorant. There's a willfulness to their ignorance. It's not, they will confess when they stand before God that they knew the truth. But they chose to reject it. They know. And verse 6, when it says, "In those days shall men seek death." That is an attitude of Antichrist. And it's an attitude being displayed now. It's being displayed now. And Proverbs 8:36 says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Now, some people like to mince words on that. The text is about wisdom. But God is wisdom. God is the source of wisdom. He is Jesus Christ was wisdom incarnate. And those who hate Jesus Christ love death. That's why you don't find Bible-believing Christians who are pro-choice. Those who love Jesus Christ can't love killing babies. You won't find true Bible-believing Christians supporting the sodomite lifestyle, as it's called. Because it's a death style. You find those who hate God who love killing the unborn. Those who hate God love the sodomite death style. It's those who hate God who are for gun control and they want the masses to be slaves who can't protect themselves and to be subject to an overlord government like the Antichrist is going to set up. Those who love God love liberty, love life. Those who hate God love death. Here's this example, what I saw in the news, this was yesterday. These two men are named Mark and Eddie Verbisum. They're deaf. They are twins and they live in Belgium. And they requested to be killed. They weren't even really terminally ill. They just were going blind. And this is from the news story that was covered in all major internet news sources. Two Belgian brothers who were born deaf were slowly going blind, chose to end their lives the way they began them, together. See how they're trying to make it look like such? This is so wonderful. Why? Because the media hates God. The news media hates God. There, 9 out of 10 is a very conservative estimate of people in the news media that are antichrist. And that's why your news stories are slanted. And they make this thing look like it's a wonderful thing. It says, the dual deaths of the identical twins last month marked the first reported double euthanasia of twins worldwide. Now, don't miss that they're not reporting that as a tragedy. They're reporting that as like a mark of, you know, the first woman on the moon kind of thing. You know, oh, wow. That's how they're treating this thing. Says Belgian law permits euthanasia when a patient declares the assisted suicide to be his or her own wish and doctors agree the patient is in unbearable physical or, look at that, psychological pain. Madness. So basically it comes down to they've made such a world of lies that now it's to the point where if you want to die, you can just claim that you've got psychological pain. And so they tell the story. We don't have time to account the whole thing, but these two men sat in a room and their family came in one at a time. And they sat and held hands and talked. And the men had the whatever what they wanted to eat and drink for the last couple hours. And then the family all stood there and they all both waved, said goodbye, and walked through a door and shut the door. And that was the family's goodbye. And they walked back and a doctor injected them and killed them. We don't have to live in that world. That's why God's given us families. Husband and wife, male and female, with children. He's given us the local church for fellowship and encouragement. But if you choose to reject Jesus Christ, that's what you're choosing to live with. That's where you're going. And if you reject Jesus Christ, you will find yourself right there in the end. In one way or another, you will find yourself right there in a place called death and separation from God. These men believed that they were doing a good thing. And the reality is, the moment they took that injection, they woke up in hell. There's nothing in anything that was said that tells you that these men believed the gospel at any point, but they were just evolutionists. And they just believed this is all there was, and when you die, you die. You just go 6 feet under. And the truth of the matter is, the moment they died, they woke up in hell. Just like the rich man with Lazarus. See, Satan wants to give you a delusion. He wants to pull you in with lies. He wants you to believe lies, so then you'll commit deception. But during the tribulation period, not even assisted suicide will be possible during this 5-month period that we're reading about. Read verse 7 with me. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. That's a pretty wild description, but there's a pretty wild picture that I think is a pretty good, because they're horse-like creatures with the face of a man and the crown of gold on it. So when you read Narnia or Lord of the Rings or any of that stuff, that's where you're getting the imagery. They're going to kill and destroy. Now here's how they're described, verses 8 and 9. And they had hair as the hair of the beetles. I mean, I heard a preacher preach that one time. He was serious as could be too. They had hair as the hair of women. That's more like the 80s glam rock look, I think. Yeah. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Now, some will try to say this is probably a helicopter and all that stuff. Don't believe that stuff. Everybody tries to say, you know, like arrows being shot, that might be nuclear weapons. Because it says that they clean it up and they burn the fuel for 7 years. There's reasons to believe that. But in the book of Revelation, I just believe when it says that they're scorpion locusts with wings that make these sounds, that's what I believe they are. When the plain sense makes perfect sense, seek no other sense. And I see no, and to think of a helicopter with the face of a man with a crown of gold and with, you know, these pinched things they're going to sting you with and all that, that's quite a weapon. But here's where it says in verse 10, they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, I always tell you to look out for these numbers. But these scorpions and stings in their tails, the only comment I have on that is pain. They can't die. They're going to torment men for 5 months, but those men that they torment cannot die. So there is pain involved. But that number 5, it's interesting because in the Bible, you'll be told it's a number of grace, and it's not. It's the number of death. And it says, after 5 months, then they die. But for 5 months, they're like the living dead. Oh, you mean all those zombie movies? There's where it comes from. Yeah. Now, this is great. I always said, you know, I love seeing the names of these creatures sometimes. I just think it's neat to know their names. I know God names them, and He shares every once in a while. And here we're told the name of this king over them in Revelation 9:11. Read that with me. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now, this is a king over the bottomless pit. And in Hebrew, it's Abaddon. In Greek, it's Apollyon. And that translates into... this thing keeps skipping away. That translates into English, it's just the word destroyer. Destroyer. And think of how many times that name's been used in Hollywood movies and so rock groups. And well, no, he's the king of the bottomless pit.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no king of hell. Now, there's a lot of people who try to live up to that name, but there's actually not one. And so that brings us then to verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And you can see why it's woe. If you really meditate on what we read tonight and think about what we talked about, it is woe, if you take it seriously. And this ain't no Hollywood movie. This is real. This is real. Just as real as you look down, you see that floor, you go out and walk on that dirt, underneath there is a bottomless pit. These things are coming out of there one of these days. Somebody asked me about these noises, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but you can see the videos on the internet, and there's wild noises taking place where people with video cameras are recording it, and sometimes it's related to earthquake activity and that sort of thing, but this distant noise is just groaning. It's like, kind of sound, and you're like, what? Hey, this can't be real. And let me tell you something. They have investigated. There's been several people, ministries, and news investigators, and the cops. You go look at the records. They call 911 or another country's where it's happened. They call the police, and they get the police will testify. Yeah, we got bombed with phone calls last night. Hundreds of people saying they heard these noises. We drove out in our cars and we heard them, but we have no idea what it was. Wild stuff. I have no idea. That's what I'm saying, though. We're getting close. I mean, I don't know about you. I've tried to convince you because I'm pretty convinced of it. I believe we're very close. As a matter of fact, I think in the next moment, it could be over. For us, we're out of here. And at some short distance after that, just within a few months or years, the Antichrist comes up with another EU peace plan, confirms the covenant with Israel and the world. They build the temple. They start the sacrifice. 3.5 years after that, he walks in, stops the sacrifice, declares himself to be God, and all hell breaks loose. 3.5 years after that, Jesus returns. We're with him on white horses to establish his kingdom. That fast. We're a little over 7 years away from King Jesus being on the earth. Well, that means we're real close to this stuff happening. And Jesus said there would be signs and wonders. And they said it would be in the heavens. Well, those noises, they don't know where they're coming from. And if you've seen the last few messages we've done on Revelation, we talked about the signs in the skies and everything. Well, for us, the good thing is we do, I have to remind you, we do face possible persecution from man. We face possible natural disasters. But we don't face this. We don't face the seals and the trumpets and the vials and the woes. We look for Jesus. We don't face the woes. And I always want to close with one of these passages, the several passages that remind us of this. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to remind you of this. Read it with me. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That wrath to come isn't talking about hell. It's talking about the Great Tribulation. And we are delivered from it. Doesn't even say, people say, well, I believe God will keep us through it. That's not what it says. It says, we are delivered from it. So, with all the, what you might say, scary stuff that we read about in Revelation, it's only scary for the people who aren't ready. It's only scary for the people who are going to be left behind and face it. And it's only scary, and to us, it's only scary knowing that there are people we love who aren't ready. That's the only scary thing about it for us.
Or we may never be ready.
And may never be ready. You're right. But that's all we can do. All we can do is share the truth, preach the gospel, and pray for those people. But be faithful to do that. That's all I'm saying. You can't save people. But you can be faithful to preach the truth, preach the gospel, and pray for them. Amen? Amen.
For me, not reading this book, and then the first thing we've come across is this word, Abaddon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a name brought up many times in the Lodge.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm surprised to see it right here.
Yeah.
Seventh and 32nd degree Mason. It's passing.
That tells you what If you know any Masons, you better pray them out of there, because they use these things in a, you know, Antichrist is the opposite of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is the opposite of the spirit of Christ. They take the biblical words and definitions and they flop them around. It's like that secret name of God, Jah or Yah, Baal, On. You're talking about mixing Jehovah with Baal, and On or Osiris, I believe, is the last one, isn't it? Yeah, and it's a mixture of the truth with the lie. The Sodomites are nasty people. And if you don't know that, then don't pretend you know anything about homosexuals. Because I, like Paul, have known them personally, known them very well, and I've also dealt with many of them, I won't use the word many, several of them as they died. And I know the things that caused them to die. I know the things that caused them their pain and suffering. And it was this very abusive practice, sexual practice. It's very abusive.
And not to mention AIDS.
Well then, then there are diseases that they exchange too, yeah.
And they may think, oh, it's pleasure, but it's really pleasure.
Yeah. These aren't human beings, and they're, you know, there's no human beings coming out of that pit.
No, but that's the spirit.
But it is, yeah, there's a shared spirit there. I mean, they're all of the satanic, godless, antichrist spirit. And the Taliban, very much Sodomite. The Muslims, they're very much Sodomite. They, that's what they do to their conquered foe when they defeat an army.
Even if they're believers.
Whether you're talking about the Kurds, or the Shiites, or the Sunnis, or there's a bunch of little groups splintered off of them, and then there's the Taliban and Al Qaeda and all those groups. The news media doesn't say much about it, but this is what they do. That's their thing. They believe that homosexuality in Islam is only a sin if you actually love the person that you're having sex with and it's the same sex. But if you have sex for dominance or punishment, that's not a sin, according to Islam. And that is why whenever Lawrence of Arabia was captured, you won't see that in the movie. But all these guys go over and fight, they find out. That's why men in our, the suicide rate in our military is skyrocketing. One of the reasons why is because of the stuff they're seeing over there. It's just messing with their minds. Because they're seeing, number one, they're seeing the boys, the young prepubescent boys. That's another thing. If you're having sex with a prepubescent boy, that's not considered sodomy, or it's not considered a sin, because they're still not men, according to Islamic law. And I could get on and on. I'm telling you, if you just talk about the reality of Islam, it is a nasty religion. And just because there's some nice people who come over here to America and say, I'm Muslim, and we don't do any of that, I'll take your word for it, but you're the exception. You're not the rule. That's the fact. Islam has a history, and its history is a history of evil, darkness. It's not like Christianity we have the Roman Catholic Church who has a history of that kind of darkness, and the Inquisitions and the Crusades and all that. But among the Protestant groups and non-Catholic groups, there's very little of that, especially when you compare. Hi, this is Pastor Greg inviting you to tune in to the 24/7 internet radio ministry of Bible Believers Fellowship, which can be found at bbfohioradio.com. All day and night, King James Bible teaching and great congregational singing, with the occasional special by one of our BBF locals. Again, that address is bbfohioradio.com.
This world is not my home.